Good afternoon, brethren. Happy Sabbath. You know, something that we did down in Jamaica that was really cool, Mr. Jeff Lockhart, he would, for those that went to Jamaica, he would say, God is good, and everyone in the audience would say all the time, and he would return it and say all the time, and the people would say, God is good. So let's try that. God is good. And all the time? It works up here too. Wow. That's good stuff. That was fun. That was a fun thing down at the feast in Jamaica. Yaman. Well, brethren, let's go ahead and get your Bibles out. We're going to go ahead and get started here and turn to Mark chapter 9. And we're going to begin in verse 23. And I hope you can hear me. And in Mark chapter 29, excuse me, Mark 9, verse 23, breaking into the story in regards to the young man, the father who had a son that was possessed. And Jesus said unto him in verse 23, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Verse 24, immediately the father of the child cried out and said it with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. We've all been there. We've all had those moments in our lives when you say, God, please help me. I don't know what to do. And when we read this story, let's go back up to verse 15. It says, immediately they saw him, and there were people were greatly amazed and running to him. Speaking of Christ, and greeted him. And he asked the scribes, what are you discussing? Then one in the crowd answered and said, Teacher, I have brought you my son, who is a mute spirit. And whenever he seizes it, it throws him down and foams at the mouth and gashes his teeth and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples, and they should cast him out, but they could not. He answered them and said, faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. Then he brought him to him, and when he had saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed, and he fell on the ground as if he had wallowed foaming at the mouth. And so he asked, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. And so often he has thrown himself into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And you know, brethren, how do we go about helping our unbelief? You know, it's a process, building from the foundation that we've learned. Because when we read over in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1, speaking of the six doctrines of Hebrews 6, it says, therefore, leaving the principles, the elementary aspect of it, the doctrine of Christ, let us go unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, of faith towards God. Verse 2, of doctrines of baptism, laying on of hands, and of the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. These things, brethren, when we read about this account in Mark, we're talking about a man who was unconverted. But we're converted. And we have to understand that these are foregone conclusions in our lives. Now, most of the people in this room looking around here have been in the church for some time, that have attended church for some time. And I say this because this way of life, what Mr. Tuck talked about, is so much a part of life, so much a part of your life, there's no questioning as to what you're supposed to do. And we have to grow as mature Christians in full faith, the ability to see God's intervention, his ability to be a part of our lives in every aspect. Because understand, God is not limited by time nor space. He can go backwards. He can go forward. It doesn't mean anything to him. We are on a linear time frame. But for God, he's that great. And understanding that we've learned for years the holy days, the Sabbath, clean and unclean meats, watching and praying always, world events. There's no less emphasis on that. But at the same time, brethren, we have to work on the only thing that we can work control, and that's us. Because we choose what we want to focus in on. So much of the media directs us to think away, or to try to direct us towards thinking away, thinking a certain way, hating a certain people, denying other people certain things. Brethren, that's not it. We got to get beyond the cares of this world. And the cares of this world, we go from milk to meat, as Mr. Tuck mentioned in the sermon. The humble belief that we stop being dreamers and become believers. Because when we read in Micah chapter 6 and verse 8, it says, what is our job? To do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly before our God. When we see the stories of Enoch and Noah, and they walked with God. Brethren, it's our job to walk with God in every aspect of our lives. Not just here for 2 hours, not just 24 hours on the Sabbath, but 24/7. This becomes your life. We walk it, we talk it, we speak of it, we think about it. You know, when we read in the previous chapter, let's go to Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 11. In Hebrews, still speaking along the same lines, and I thought Mr. Tuck was going to take all my scriptures, but hey, there's lots of scriptures in here. But in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 11, it says, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. Can there be anything more prevalent as to what God wants us to say when both messages, we didn't corroborate on this, but we're repeating a lot of the same scriptures because God wants us to understand we have to wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. And very lovingly, God wants us to see things the way he wants to see us to see things through his eyes. And when we go on in verse 12, it says, For though by this time you ought to have been teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have to come need of milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only in milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of us use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Brethren, this connection with our eternal God, the great God of this universe, is real. And we go from a partial belief to a full belief to where unbelief is not an option. You know, when we ratchet up our relationship with God, taking the time to pray, taking the time to fast, taking the time to meditate, you know, it's when Christ spoke of the disciples at the time, oh, faithless generation, how long will I be here? Through much prayer and fasting is how we have to, and how that those types of demons would have to be extracted from the people. And we are here to follow Christ's example. That's what we're here for. He gave us a perfect life to follow, to emulate, to say, hey, look, you know what? It can be done. It can be done. And you know, our prayers to God should not be self-centered or self-promoting. And the key to our prayers to God is how we're what we're asking for. Let's go over to James chapter 1, verse 6. In James chapter 1 and verse 6, and also in James chapter 4 and verse 3, I'll read both of them to you. It says, but let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave in the sea driven to tossed by the wind. And in verse 4, in chapter 4, excuse me, in verse 3, it says, you ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your own pleasures. Brethren, Christ gave us a plan to follow. And he said things that there were no asterisk next to or an except when. No, his promises were, as in it says in John chapter 14 and verse 13. It says, and for whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Verse 14, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. John chapter 15, verse 16, it says, you have not chosen me. And brethren, that's key in understanding. You're here because God wanted you here. This is not, you are a free moral agent. You can make a choice. But you're here because God wanted you here. It's up to you to choose to stay here. But it's up to you. You're here because God chose you to be here. Going on, it says, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain. Whatsoever you ask of my Father in my name, he may give it to you. In John chapter 16, verse 23, it says, and in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever shall ask my Father in my name, he will give it to you. In verse 24, John chapter 16, verse 24, says, hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Verse 26 of John 16, and that you may ask in my name, and I say not unto you, that you will pray the Father for you. In verse 27 says, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came out of from God. We love God by the actions we do, the thoughts we think, and being led by the Holy Spirit. You can't push a rope. You can push it, but it'll bind up. To be led by the Holy Spirit, it has to bring you along. You know, there are 37 miracles recorded in the Gospels. But yet and still in the book of John, it still talks, John chapter 21, verse 25, you can write that down. It says, the earth could not hold the volume of miracles that Christ performed here on the earth. What does that say to you? See, there's no vanity in believing the principles that govern the entire universe. That's why when the church in this past years, a couple years, talked about Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you. Thought it not robbery to be equal with God. See, we have to raise up. Raise up our thought process by humbling ourselves. Raise up our thought process by bowing down and doing the things that are pleasing unto God. Seeing things the way he wants us to see us. You know, Christ marveled at the unbelief. And so many times he chided the people to say, why do you lack faith? See, Jesus Christ's normal were the miracles. Jesus Christ's normal were the miracles. But as the man said in Mark, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. This is from an unconverted man. We're converted. Now, what does that mean? You have to decide for yourself. But at the same instance, know that God has given you the tool, His Holy Spirit, to be more than what you think possible. Not only in the next life, but in this life. Brethren, we have a calling. We have to move forward. God loves us and we love Him. And we have to learn to recognize how much Jesus Christ, God the Father, the God family are involved in our lives. So many times we can look back and say, wow, I forgot about that. When God intervened. Speaking with Mr. Tuck just a few minutes ago, he said somebody, when he was down with his stroke, a man he never recognized said, you know what, you're going to make it. You're going to make it. It's going to take work every day. God loves you. And we love Him when we do the things that are pleasing unto Him. And it's our job to grow towards His way of life, not our own way. See, God has a plan that involves you and that includes you. See, when vanity is stripped away, the ability to see the whole world and the contents of this world all belong to God. Because we have to learn to love as God loves. So we have love towards God, love towards man, love towards our neighbor. Love towards our neighbor. Who can that be? Well, look around this room. These are your neighbors. Focus on God. And then when you focus on God, you can't see all the other sins that other people, oh, that's not God's church. They have all a bunch of sinners. Guess what? Every church has a full group of sinners. I'm looking out at this audience and I'm pointing the finger and saying, all of you are sinners, but I got three pointing back at me because I'm a sinner too. But He's helping us to grow. You know, we have to understand where the influence of our adversary is, you know, because when Christ says, love your enemy, our adversary says, hate them. Hate people you don't even know. Really? Christ told us to do good to those who use you. Our adversary says, hate them and seek vengeance. Know this, brethren. To increase our faith, we have to know that we have a whole eternity of learning ahead of us. Not only in this lifetime, but the lifetime to come. We need to see beyond the cloak of fear, doubt, and worry. Because that's what our adversary would have us focus on. When we turn on the boob tube and we're distracted, it only takes away from our time that we can spend with God. The time we spend with God is precious. And it needs to become the more rather than the less. You know, I was back in Des Moines, Iowa last week to visit my brother. And my brother had a stroke. And I was talking to Mr. Tuck just a few minutes ago, and, you know, asking him about his experience. And you have to train your brain again to work with your body. And as Mr. Tuck mentioned in his sermon, this body has to work together. See, to see my brother not be able to talk clearly, to be able to move his right hand but not feel anything, not be able to zip up his own jacket, not be able to voice the words that he wants to see. It's challenging. But brethren, we as a body have to operate under the guise of what God would have us to focus in on. Because this society, this world would have us to see everything is separate, but you know what? We're all governed by one God, the God of the entire universe. And I mentioned down in Yuma, I got this from the Australian Science Academy, this 5% of the known universe is matter. 20% is dark or unseen matter. And 75% of the dark or invisible energy makes up our universe. But it all flows from a God that exists in the third heaven. Brother, he knows what's going on. There is no coke closet planet out there. Oh, well, that's too far away. No, God's very much involved, and he has a universe, as it says in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 7. We're all familiar with it, of the increase of his government and his peace will be no end. See, science knows that there's something holding this universe together, but they can't figure it out. But we know, brethren, because it's right here in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. If you want to turn to Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, and I bring this up simply because of the fact that we have to see things to help us with our unbelief. In verse 16 it says, "For by him all things were created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him." Verse 17, "And he is before all things, and by him all things exist." There is no secret as to who's in charge of this universe. There is no secret as to who governs this whole entire world. See, just for a brief stint of time, we have an adversary that is allowed to challenge us. But you know, and what our adversary challenges us with is he distracts us from seeing how great God is. See, even Satan has to bow down. He has to answer to God. See, it's our coming to understand that our unbelief comes as a result of not knowing who the Eternal is. And more we remove the distractions, we focus our thoughts on God, we have conversations with God, we walk with God, we talk with him, we silence our minds so we can hear the answers that he is giving us. It is not a one-way conversation. This book of facts answers our questions. And when you are in need, whether it be that angel that sticks his head in your room and says, "You're going to be okay." My high school history teacher, I've mentioned this before, he was laying on the beaches in the South Pacific during World War II, and a man in a brown suit, as he was being shot at by a sniper, walked up to him and said, "Richard, you're going to be okay." Brethren, God's involved in our lives very much, very much so. We have to see it. We have to understand it. You know, there is no empty space. You look around you and say, "Oh, well, you know, you got people, you got chairs, you got..." No, brethren, there's energies, there is air, there's everything that we need to survive in this room. We have to recognize how great God is and build a relationship with God and take away the interference. And as you build, maintain, and increase your relationship with God,
It strips away the cares of this world. And what's in your mind as to what you think you should be concerned with. When you read in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 26, and I'll read it for you. It says, "Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds you. Are you much better than them?" Brethren, the air we breathe, everything that we need, God will provide for us. Let's go back over to Jeremiah chapter 20, excuse me, 31. Jeremiah 31. In Jeremiah 31, verse 33, it says, "By this the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord, I will put my law into their minds," speaking of the future, the millennium, "I will write in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Verse 34, "No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know him." Brethren, we got to come to that stage where we all know who God is. That's what we're here for. That's what we're here for. We have to understand the many agendas that are out there that people to take away our time, extract our time and our energy from doing the will of God, to seeing God's will and living it. And again, unbelief comes as knowing, not knowing how incredible God is and how fascinating His journey is for us. You know, there's many reasons as to why we limit our interaction with God and the influences of the world. But God controls this whole universe. Nothing good is beyond the influence of our Creator. That's why God said, brethren, when He mentioned, when I mentioned all those scriptures earlier, "I will give it to you." But what we notice with our Savior, Jesus Christ, the majority of the prayers were not for Himself. And the one prayer that He prayed, "If you can take this cup from me," was not answered. But He understood it. He understood what He was going to have to go through. We have to walk with God. Know the things that pertain to God, His ways, our part in building the oneness. Mr. Tuck mentioned in the sermon about the oneness, this one church. It says, "Me and my Father, we are one," in John 10 and verse 30. Let's go over there and wrap this up. John 10 and verse 30. Pick it up in verse 27. It says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them the eternal life, and that they may never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my hand or my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." And it says the same thing in John chapter 17, verse 11. See, Christ mastered. He had a mastery over evil. And He understood that. We have to understand that. I think we give too much credence sometimes to our adversary. Because at His weakest point, after He had fasted for 40 days, He was spiritually the strongest. And when we read that, "I saw Satan fall like lightning," in Luke, we know that He was disposed of. He was sent down here. And Christ said, when they were approaching, when the group was approaching to take Him, to crucify Him, He says, "He has nothing in me," in John chapter 14 and verse 30. But see, Satan has to answer to Him. See, his mastery over it says, "Where have you been?" in Job chapter 1 and verse 7. Jesus Christ, God the Father, the God of the Old Testament, Elohim, Eternal, the Lord, that family has mastery over their creation. And when we read in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 16, it says, "This is what deceived the nations?" It says in verse 16, "That you may see and gaze at you, that shall consider you, saying, Is this the man that hath made the earth tremble, that he did shake kingdoms?" Brethren, here's the whole point. Only God is great. And that will help our understanding and help us in knowing what our unbelief is. As the scales fall from our eyes to see how great God is and how much he's involved in your life, it's no small effort. And what Satan does is very minuscule compared to how great God is. And as our minds clear so that we have the vision to know who God is, we look forward to a time when Satan is removed. I challenge you to give God the same authority to rule over you as you have the adversary, because we've all been under sin. Now let's stop being under sin and let's start living under God. The pleasure to serve the greatest God of the universe, the great God of this universe, compared to the wasted acknowledgement of our adversary and his sinful ways, do not compare to what we have in store, what God has in store for us. We're part of a greater plan, a very loving plan, and it's exciting. How can you not get excited about God's way of life? How can you not come to see, wow, a humble little piece of clay like me, and you're going to allow me to be a part of your family? Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you for your son and his sacrifice. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. And let's go on to see how great God is so that he can help us with our unbelief. And that concludes the Bible study.